Pastor, thank you. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'd like to share a message with you this morning that deals with living by faith and not by sight. Living by faith and not by sight. It's an exciting chapter in the Old Testament and the lives of some of the prophets of the Lord. Interesting, the things that they faced. And some were very obedient, immediate to do what the Lord has told them to do. And that's what we will find in Elijah today. Others, such as Jonah, were not so obedient and did not heed the Lord's voice and direction. And we see different ones throughout Scripture, and I often just need to take a look at it and say, which one would I have been if I'd been under those circumstances? Interesting, some things we'll see today. 1 Kings chapter 17, and beginning in verse 1. I'll read through verse 7. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that you give me wisdom and direction and the things that need to be said, the things that you want for your people to hear. Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through all that is said and done. Please, Lord, use me to be a messenger and a blessing. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, as we look at the life of Elijah and the place that he is in this moment, it's interesting, whereas Elijah had faced Ahab, King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings of the Old Testament. And you look into verse 33 of the previous chapter, chapter 16, verse 33. It says, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. There was nobody to that point in time who had been as wicked as this man was. And Elijah faced this man, and he told him it wasn't going to rain, and dealt with his obstinance and rebellion against God. And so God tells Elijah in chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And basically he was saying, buddy, you're in trouble now. You're in trouble now. And he gave that message directly to Ahab, spoke it with what appears and sounds like there was no fear in his heart. He was going to trust God. He was going to obey God. And the Lord told him in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now the Lord steps in here and says, hide thyself. Hide thyself. He's going to be real upset now. The tough times are coming. And I want you to hide yourself, not go as before and present yourself before him and denounce him and put upon him Spanish word's trying to come in. I'm going to have to dial it out. need to back up. We'll skip that point. Sorry, folks. It happened. Anyway, so Elijah is told to go to eastward, turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. And it says, and it shall be, now this is interesting, that thou shalt drink of the brook. That's normal. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's abnormal. Elijah was what? A Jew. A Jewish person was not supposed to touch an unclean bird, especially with what ravens eat. I mean, I've got a little sign. I took a picture of a sign I saw one time that said, was it roadkill grill? You kill it, we grill it. you know, now truthfully, we're driving through Missouri and southern Missouri, and I saw a sign on a restaurant. It said, stray dog barbecue. You'll get that in a minute. Anyhow, I'm going to take a picture up next time I go by that way. So here he is. He's commanded the ravens to feed Elijah. Now I'm wondering, the faith of Elijah had to be really, really great. I mean, he had to truly trust the Lord. And so he's there at the brook Cherith. He's hiding from Ahab. So he's definitely probably not sending up smoke signals with a fire to cook this meat. So you think and you wonder, okay, Lord, you promised you take care of him. You're going to feed him using the ravens to do it. He's not supposed to touch that meat. But what do they eat? I mean, they eat roadkill. And, of course, didn't have much roadkill down there. So I got to thinking, and this is strictly O'Brien insert, okay, of thoughts on this. But what did he eat? And I can just imagine meat and bread, okay, is what he needed to survive. And he goes and he just waits on the Lord, and here comes this raven. And he sits down on a rock and he lays this meat. And I'm thinking, I wonder what cut that is. But if you think about it, I mean, he's not supposed to touch this. He's not supposed to eat of the raven. I just wouldn't be hard for me to believe at all that raven laid down a steak right in front of Elijah and then took off. And I'm sure it's probably cooked medium well. But, you know, a steak and a freshly baked roll of bread. He said, no, wait a minute. There's a famine in the land. There's a drought going on. Who can even have this stuff to eat? Well, who would still eat good? King Ahab. And I can imagine these ravens, God would send them to the tower of the castle or the palace, wherever it is Ahab stayed for the night, and just fly into the window. They didn't have glass windows like that. They didn't. They may have had bars, but the ravens could get through. And I can just picture in my mind, honestly, that raven coming in, and then another one in another window, and they look at each other, and so the one of them takes off and just swings by the cook, and he's over there grilling that steak, and he's smacking at that bird. Get out of here. And he grabs something and he goes to go after that bird. And here the other raven flies over and grabs the steak. And then as he's grabbing the steak and heading out the window, the cook's running that direction. And this one runs over to where the bread is. Picks him up a nice hot roll of fresh baked bread. And they take off with that. And I mean, this is day after day after day. Morning and evening. That poor cook can't win. And it wouldn't surprise me if it came to the point where the cook said, there it is right there, just get it and go. Take it. I'm not going to fight anymore. But the thing is, God took care of his man. God fulfilled a promise. God said, I will take care of you. I will never forsake you. And he said, this is what I want you to do. Trust me. So Elijah had at this point to obey the Lord, do what was not normal, not natural, to take that food from a raven and eat it. And so as he's there and he's taking the food and the drink, we look at verse 5 and it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And we know about the ravens and the bread and the steaks. And then it says, and it came to pass after a while, in verse 7, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, you can live without food, but you cannot live without water. He needed water. But he patiently waited on the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the place, to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, Elijah has done as the Lord has called. He's gone to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. He comes to the gate of the city and he meets the widow. Now, Bible history has it that you look at different places and they'll give a little bit of different things about the city of Zarephath. But it was approximately 100 miles northwest of Cherith. It was a Gentile area. In that town, there's a Gentile woman, but she's a widow. Now, in a city, in that day and time, how many widows do you think might have been in that town? I can imagine there was at least more than one. But where was this one? She was at the gate of the city. And she wasn't sitting there with a sign like at the airport saying, Elijah, or widow woman. But he knew. I mean, the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? He does different things that, and sometimes they just pass over us and we don't even notice what he's doing. But we see that Elijah's obedient to God. He's obedient to going where God tells him to go. And it was no accident, no coincidence there with this town. Actually, the approximate population of that town was 10,000 to 15,000 people. And I can almost guarantee you there was more than one widow woman. But he trusted the Lord. He went. He got to the gate of the city. There she is. So he calls to her. He asks for water. What happened? How did she respond? Probably like we would have. I'll go get you some water. And she went to get the water and bring it to him. But as we look at this, and so he arose in verse 10. He went to Zarephath, belonging to Sidon, dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, he went. We skip down to verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal. A handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She was in a very grave situation. But what we find, if you go back and you look at what had taken place, God had given two commands in the first part of that chapter. One, for Elijah to go. Two, for the widow to sustain. She had been given an order by the Lord. So how do we do it? He spoke to her heart. He told the woman, you take care of my man. You take care of the servant of God. And so he's put in the position, the situation that's very difficult. It's a grave situation. She is going to eat. It's the last meal they would have because it would be no more. And they were going to die. And that was what she thought was going to happen. But Elijah had to deal with this and put him in a difficult situation, really. And so, what does he say to that woman? We begin to see in verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. apparently she knew the Lord. And he says, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. So they have a handful of meal in a barrel. They have a little bit of oil in a cruse. And that's it. And we're going to eat this and die. Elijah said to her in verse 13, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, at first glance, if you read that, you may think that, wow, Elijah sure is being presumptuous there. She's told him what's going on. She's about to die with her son. This is their last meal. They will have nothing more to eat. And yet, Elijah says to her, go. Go and get that ready. But make me one first. And it wasn't that Elijah was presumptuous. It wasn't that he thought he was better than her or anything of the sort. He simply knew what God had given the order to him. And he said, obey. Do what God has told you to do. And then he comes back to her and he speaks to her again. And he says, and she did, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, verse 15. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Now, I can imagine that woman, her little son, who was with her, collecting a couple of sticks to make the fire, watching as she put that meal into a bowl, began to put the little bit of oil in there and knead that dough and get it ready to put on the fire. But Elijah said, make one for me first. And just imagine, as she does that, and she's taken the cruse of oil and dripped it dry, those last few little drips, and she sets it down. And her little boy watching. And she gets that dough ready. And he looks over at the cruse of oil. And he says, Mom. It had refilled. Look. Look, Mom. Look. And she looks over at that. And then he gets up next to the table and he leans over and he looks into the barrel. And there's more food in the barrel. Can you imagine how exciting he got? And can you imagine her heart as she sees God provide miraculously? Yes. But as she sees that and the reaction of her and her child is, wow, God said it and He's going to keep His promise. And they come to the point where she's cooking the bread and she brings it out and it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the Lord, to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. What do we mean? He died. The little boy died. Now, she has come. She is being obedient. She is sustaining the man of God daily, giving to him food and water. She is able to eat every day. The little boy is able to eat. She sees what the man of God is doing. She sees what God is doing. And in verse 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And she asked a question, but she asked it in the right way. You know, sometimes people run in and with problems and difficulties and they want to blame God. They want to get angry and this is not right. This is not fair. God, I've done this for you and I've done that for you and look what you've allowed to happen. And God allowed a testing, a trial in her life. And then in the life of Elijah. We look at these verses again, starting in verse 19, and it says, and he said unto her, give me thy son. Now, before she hands over the son, she has just asked Elijah, she says, what have I to do with thee? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? What? She didn't blame God. She didn't get angry with God. She wanted to know if there was sin in her life. Have you come to call my sin to remembrance? Folks, that's the first place we need to go. When a challenge comes, a trial comes, look to God. Lord, have I done anything that has brought this upon me? Is there a reason for this because of me? And so she responds to Elijah, and he said, "Give me thy son," verse 19. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And he prays to God. He begs God, "Lord, show me. What do you want me to do? What can I do?" You know, normally for the man of God, the prophet, God speaks and the answer's there. This time, Elijah did not have the answer. He had to go to God and seek God's will and seek God's face and find out, "Lord, what are we doing here? What are you doing? What do I do?" And in that verse 21, it says where he stretched himself upon the child three times. He cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now, I can imagine, here's this widow woman downstairs, he takes her upstairs and is begging God to bring this little boy back to life. There's a good probability she could hear and was listening. He begs God to show him the answer. He begs God for the life of this child, to give him his life back, bring him back from the dead. And when he comes to verse 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth." See, look at what God did. Elijah had no answer, but God had the answer. And there are times when we just won't understand what the Lord is doing. And there'll be points of frustration or testings and trials that come. Elijah had to trust God. Elijah was put in a position where he had to demonstrate to that widow his faith in the Lord. It wasn't just some easy answer or go crack your Chinese cookie open and get your lucky number for the lottery. No. No, this is where Elijah had to get a hold of God. He had to know exactly what God wanted. And he did all he knew to do. Cry out to God. And he cried out to the Lord, "I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And he revived in verse 22. In verse 23, "And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth." See, thy son liveth. I imagine she was crying out to God too. And Elijah had the job of calming her heart and saying, "See, your child liveth. He's alive. God has answered our prayers." Verse 24, "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." I looked at that verse and I thought, wait a minute. Elijah came to her and he, out of obedience to God and the command of God, he trusted that God would provide for him, and he did. Then he comes to this woman and God works again, and he simply asked her to do what God had asked her to do. Remember, God had already talked to her before Elijah ever got there. God had already told her that you will sustain the man of God. take care of him. Make sure he eats. And so this woman seeing this and Elijah seeing this and God says, who's in control? And she naturally calms down. He hands her son over to her. And what does she say? Now by this, I know. Now by this, I know. You know, folks, sometimes we just have to wait on God. And He will show us. He will show us the way. He'll show us what He wants. I know that thou art a man of God. Now by this, I know. And that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And I wonder why. God gives him instructions, he obeys. God does what he asks, he obeys. And yet at this point, Isaiah didn't know the answer. Sometimes we don't have all the answers. God says, trust me. God provides and God brings the miracle to this family. And then Elijah is left with this question or this statement by this lady. She said unto Elijah, now by this I know. Now by this I know. What would we have said? And I think for a moment, sometimes we go through trials, we go through testings, we go through difficulties, and then everything seems to resolve itself. Everything comes out okay. Now by this I know. Now by this, I know. Elijah had not been presumptuous with her. Elijah was watching and seeing God use trials and testings in his faith to see if his faithfulness would be strong. But why didn't she know, or why didn't she say anything when they saw the bread continue? And the oil continued. I mean, she saw what God was doing. But she waited and says, now by this I know. And I just want to say to you this morning, people are watching you. People are watching you. And what do they know about God? Through what they see in you. They may not see a miracle, but they may need a word of encouragement. They may need you to pray with them. It wasn't long ago, we were out knocking doors, just about a month ago. And of course, with our situation, we're looking for Hispanic people that we can talk to. Sometimes it's an American that comes to the door. I wish there were all Mexican. I wish they just grouped together and all live in the same trailer park, but it doesn't happen that way. And so this lady came to the door, and I said to her, I said, you don't speak Spanish, do you? And she said, no. She said, people right there do, and the people behind me do, and these people over there do, but no Spanish here. And I, for some reason, God spoke to my heart that this woman was troubled in her heart, and she needed someone to pray for her. Just something about her look, her tone of voice. And I told her who we were. I told her what we were doing, looking for Spanish people. I said, but I'd like to know, could I pray for you? I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. I would like for you to pray for me. And I said, is there any special need in your life? And she said a few things about her kids and So I said, well, before I pray for you, I'd like to to ask you a couple questions that will help me better know how to pray for you. And I simply asked her, I said, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And she got tears in her eyes and she said, no. No, I'm not. She said, but that's what I want to know. And all the other cares that she had shared with me disappeared because she saw her need. And she needed the Lord. And we had the joy, my wife and I, of leading that lady to Christ. And as I walked away from there that afternoon, I felt like this woman. Now I know. Why was this any different than any other moment? Why? What would make that any different than any other occasion that I witnessed to someone and saw them come to know Christ? It's just the Lord. Just the Lord. I had to remember and refocus for just a moment and remember. It's not just the Hispanics that I need to reach. It's anybody that God puts in my pathway. And if I can reach an American and send them to a good church near where they live, that's what I'm going to do. But it was just, it just hit me. Now I know, Lord. It wasn't a matter of knowing somebody was this or that. I'm talking to the Lord in this moment. Now I know. And I want to encourage you to look for the little things in your life, the little things that happen, that come your way, the circumstances, the trials, the difficulties. Look for those that cause you to look to the Lord and just be reminded. Now I know. Not that I didn't know before, Lord, but you've refreshed my knowledge, my trust, my confidence. And I thank you for that. I know I can trust you. I mean, all along through this story, God provides, God provides, God provides. God took care of him. Elijah's running from the most wicked king that had ever lived. I mean, God just kept doing it all. It's like you get down to the verse 24 and it's finally. God says, finally, you're opening your eyes to who's in control here. To what I'm doing. And he increased the faith of the widow woman, of that little boy, and I believe he increased the faith of Elijah that day. And I want to ask you, what would people say about you? Would they say, now I know? What would they say? We need to ask the Lord to help us be the Christian that we need to be so that people can see the difference. And they can say, now I know. Now I know. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've taught us and shown us in this short chapter. The fact that we can know, we can trust you, we can be obedient to you. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Touch our lives and come to you and ask you to, Lord, make us the servants. Make us the Christians that you want us to be, that people would see and say, now I know. Now I know. Oh Father, we need people to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. To see Him work in our lives. Help us to yield ourselves to you, oh Lord. And that you would be honored and glorified through it all.